One of the central tenets of film criticism is that you're supposed to review the movie that was made rather than the movie you wish had been made. But it was difficult sticking to that credo while watching Wonder Woman 1984, and considering that its entire premise is built upon the power of wishes, I don't feel too bad that I spent most of the movie thinking up alternative scenes and plot lines that I'm convinced would have been way more entertaining than what we actually got. This is a film of wasted opportunities and frustratingly banal storytelling. In fact, it's kind of amazing how the filmmakers have set up scenarios with so many colorful possibilities and then consistently go the most derivative route imaginable. And yet my most desperate wishes for a more ambitious, unusual, stylish superhero blockbuster were left unanswered. Of course, anyone who has taken a middle school English class knows that having your deepest desires realized is a short route to a monkey's paw scenario, and it's that most basic narrative device that drives Wonder Woman 1984. In this case, the cursed object is a mysterious gemstone that comes through the archaeology wing of the Smithsonian, which is where Eternal Amazon Princess Diana Prince, played by Gal Gadot, now works. She still manages to make time for her crime-fighting side gig, something she keeps a secret, and though it's been 70-some years since the events of the first movie, she's apparently remained completely chaste since the death of her daredevil pilot boyfriend Steve Trevor. It makes sense, then, that she'd muse out loud that it'd be great if he'd come back to her, and the stone abides. The spirit of Steve inhabits the body of some poor schmo, whose fate the movie never stops to consider, though to us he still looks like Chris Pine, and so Diana shows him all the innovations of the 80s, like subways and high-waisted jeans. But the monkey's paw curls, and now Diana starts being sapped of her superpowers. Meanwhile, Diana's nerdy colleague Barbara Minerva, played by Kristen Wiig, wishes to be as confident and beautiful as Diana, and gets a complete personality makeover seemingly overnight. Also, meanwhile, the stone falls into the claws of disgraced business mogul Max Lord, played by Pedro Pascal, a flaxen-haired huckster who has lost most of his estranged father's fortune. Sound familiar? He harnesses the powers of the gem to become a wish-granting savant, in hopes that he'll be worshipped as some kind of messiah. Also, meanwhile, Diana and Steve follow Lord to Cairo, where he attempts to usurp control of the country's remaining petroleum reserves, a scheme that seems sort of unnecessary for a guy who can bend anybody's whims to benefit him. This trip is merely an excuse for an okay action set piece involving a series of tanks barreling down a desert highway and a couple of children who wander into their trajectory. This might sound like a lot of plot, but what's so odd about Wonder Woman 1984 is how plotting it is. It runs for 155 minutes, which has become the generally accepted length for modern-day blockbusters, but there's so little of substance happening here that I can't imagine it couldn't have been improved by being trimmed to a brisker 2 hours. It's awkwardly structured, too. The Barbara Minerva transformation seem redundant as long as Max Lord is in the mix, though both Pascal and Wiig are bringing the kind of screwball energy that this sort of material deserves, and besides, Lord's omniscience comes way too late in the story. It's a shame because the first Wonder Woman film was a welcome surprise, a snappy throwback to adventure serials and Golden Age DC comics with a dash of the fish-out-of-water comedy that characterized the better Captain America and Thor films. Original director Patty Jenkins has returned for this sequel, but the elasticity and good humor of that film isn't present in her work here. It all feels perfunctory, a movie that wasn't just mostly made inside a computer, but feels like it was written by one too. For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Nathan Weinbender.